This is June 9th, and the topic this month is scenarios.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. As usual, I hope that is sinking into you people and to myself, that we are truly connected to this thing called God, that our whole mission here on this plane of action is to know that and to start becoming God. Because this thing that we call God, it can only do for you what it can do through you. So when you do a kind thing to anybody, when you do anything, it's God doing it. God doing it through you. And that's the whole idea, to keep moving forward and forward in your thinking, in your consciousness, to you become God itself. And we all know that we've come from this thing called God. We've heard that for years. So we cannot be outside of that concept. We cannot say that all is God and then think that we are not part of that God thing. So just let that maul around inside of your consciousness and see what it comes up with, and see all the negations that it comes up with, because of over the years what the world has told you, what other religions have told you, and what other people have told you. And you can see it's absolutely blatant everywhere I look. They still think God is somewhere else, God is separated, and they also think God is always punishing. And you can see that every time you turn on the television set, you go to a movie or anything, the philosophy is that we are here and we are poor, sinful little people, that we don't know what we're doing, and that this thing, God, may have created us, but then, bango, no other help from God whatsoever. So, you have to know that God is helping you every minute of every day. And how do you do that? You do that by asking God, what's going on here? Can you help me with this? Can you do this? Can you do that? I told a client this week, I said, whenever I have tons of stuff to do, I know I can't get it done, but I know that this thing called God knows how to get it done. And I say, God, I can't do it. You do it for me. You show me how to do this. You do something so that it will get done. And sure enough, it gets done. Answers to things come to me. People, at the end of the month, they don't have enough money. Ask God to show you how to have enough money at the end of the month. Oh, but I don't make enough. It has nothing to do with the money you're making. You cannot let that be your out all the time. Well, I don't make enough money. We all make enough money, and we can make more money if you want. But it's not the money you make. It's knowing that you're being taken care of. And then that money somehow spreads itself around and does its work. I don't know how that's done myself, but I know that it's done. I was watching the other night Susie Orman on television, and she said that in this new generation, we must learn to find pleasure and happiness in saving money. Because we were taught for years that happiness and all that comes from spending money. And we are in an awful habit that started that we can have all this. We can just keep buying and buying and buying, this consuming everything around, which I don't think is the best thing that we can do. I talked to a woman the other day, and she said, she came home and she only bought 2 pairs of shoes, but her daughter bought 8 pairs of shoes. That's 10 pairs of shoes in one day. If you have the money, all well and good. But I think that's a little extravagant to do that, you see. We have to use some kind of wisdom with this whole thing, especially when it comes to money and what we're doing. I mean, you can spend money all day long if you want to. And you can get pleasure out of it. But change your mind and start to get pleasure out of saving money instead of out of spending money, and see where that brings you. Okay? So, with that said, Andy, would you read this and pass it on?
I am a manifest idea of God's.
I am a manifest idea of God.
I am a manifest idea of God.
I am a manifest idea of God.
And I am a manifest idea of God. What does that mean? Well, you were an idea in the mind of God, learned long before you manifested on this plane of action. You'll always be an idea in the mind of God, and that will go on throughout eternity. So try to remember those things, that there is no such thing as birth. There's no such thing as death. There's a continuum. Birth and death are events in your long, long thing called eternity. That's all they are, is events. The world puts a great deal of importance on birth, which is wonderful, and they put an awful burden on people with this thing called death. You're not, this body is going to change. That's the only thing that we know. That's the only thing that we can rely on this plane of action, is change. The only constant we ever have is the truth. And the truth is always going to be God. But the rest of anything that you see, even the pyramids, as long as they've been around, one day they will not be here because of impermanence. Everything has to disappear. Everything comes into existence to go out of existence. And we came into existence to go out of existence. That does not mean that we are dead, that there's no more life going on. It just means we're not on this plane of action, and all things seen come from things that are unseen. And we will go back to the unseen part. That's all that means. So we put a great deal of emphasis, and we also think, oh, this is the only life I'm going to have. That's not absolutely true, people. You may not decide to come back on this plane of action, but your life is going to continue. You're not just going to go into oblivion and it's all over. So if you have that idea, give that up. The world likes to put that out there about death because they want to make it fearful. You know, the world teaches fear. And one of the biggest fears that people have is this fear of death, because they want to know where they're going to go, you know. And, of course, the world and religions want to tell you, if you're good, you're going to go to heaven, and if you're bad, you're going to go to hell. And that is not correct either, people. There is no such thing as hell. If we had heaven and hell, we would have duality, and we do not teach duality. This teaching is not about duality, it's about unity. There is only heaven. Heaven and hell are states of mind. You can enter heaven anytime you want by changing your mind, by seeing things differently. You can be in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, if you look at your mind as a kingdom and that you're the ruler there, don't let things go on in your kingdom. If you were a benevolent dictator, of course, I always wanted to be a dictator of some small island. You know, it'd be nice. Do this, do that. Get it done. But we're not. You have to have your mind and think of it as your kingdom. And your thinking and the thoughts that come in, how are you going to rule that kingdom? What kind of a king are you going to be? You know, and let's hope you're going to be a benevolent king and you're going to treat your subjects well. That's the kingdom. And that's the kingdom of your mind. Okay? So tonight we're talking about scenarios, and I know I want to clear up a few things, because last week we had two people ask about what do I mean by scenarios. Scenarios are the little stories that you tell yourself all the time that are going on in your mind. You can call it mind talk if you want, but it's more than mind talk. Scenarios are the things that you make up stories that take you somewhere else. And they usually take you down a road that you don't want to go down, and they destroy people. As I say, I had a client this week. He wants to work 4 days instead of five. So he says, I can tell him this, I can tell him that, I should have... I said, why don't you just go in and tell them the truth? You can only work 4 days. You know, the faster you tell the truth, the faster you get what you want. When you start a scenario in your mind, well, if they say this, I'll say that. Well, I can tell them I'm really good at this. I can do, and I've been here longer. And that's just babble in your mind. It's going absolutely nowhere. And then you make up a scenario. If that person says this, I'm going to say that. Well, very rarely do you get in, after you do all this fantasizing and come up with all these scenarios, very rarely will they work out in life the way you have them planned in your mind. They will not do that. Don't ask me why, because they're make-believe. That's make-believe. But the confusion came in because somebody said, well, is that the same as visualizing? No, it's not the same as visualizing. So let's look at visualizing just one moment here. If you want something to come into your life, you start to visualize that. Now, also then that big thing comes up, and I could knock Emmett Fox on the head and everybody else. Oh, well, my outlining. Please, people, give up the idea of outlining. Outlining only means you cannot have the same house as somebody else. Not why they're occupying it. Not why they're occupying it. So you can't visualize living at 214 Green Street. Why somebody else isn't. Because that's theirs right now by right of their consciousness. But you can say, I want something similar to that, and I want on the next block, or I went on that same block, but you can't have that exact house because it belongs to somebody else by right of their consciousness. So that's all you have to know about outlining. Just don't make it so. You have to be specific without saying this is exactly what I want. Can you understand that? So you get everything you want and you visualize that. Now, along with that visualization, and when you have that visualization going, and you can keep it going in your mind, how will it feel to be there? It's always going to be done with your feeling. And that's the equation that's left out. Remember I told you you can read self-help books, you can read a lot of spiritual books, you can read a lot of books on science of the mind, or religious science, and they assume that you know about feelings. So they don't bother to put that in there. That's why Napoleon Hill's book, you know, it's been out forever and a day. Everyone should be a millionaire by now, and people are not a millionaire. Because he left out the step that you must feel. And you must feel rich, and you must build a consciousness first of wealth. And then it will come, but you have to feel, how will I feel when I have tons of money in my pocket? How will I feel when I have tons of money in my pocket? A very little clever trick that you can do to yourself. Instead of carrying $20 bills, say five $20 bills in your pocket, which fit very nicely, carry 100 $1 bills and play with that and see how big and thick that was. And say, remember years ago people say, oh, his wallet could choke a horse. He has that much money. Think of that. Stuff your wallet and say, that wallet could choke a horse. But if you don't, then you start to see those ones become 20s. Now you have 120s. You see? This is the way you, and you have to visualize, and you have, how does that feel? How does it feel to have that money? That is what, done with feeling. So visualize, yes, visualizing, and scenarios are different things. Scenarios are very close to mind talk. Most of the time when you say mind talk and mind chatter and the babble that goes on in there, it's the negative part, it's the judgment part, or it's the parental voice that's going on in your head. That is usually what we refer to as mind talk. The mind that says, no, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? All those little comments are mind talk. Scenarios is when something happens and you build up a story, and it not only destroys you, it usually destroys the other person. Now, here's an example. If my brother doesn't call me, my mind says, you see, he doesn't like you, you do all the efforting, you do this, you do that. Well, I'm never going to speak to him again. And I go right down that line. Now, I can let that go to while saying, now, I'm never calling him. Now, I've just wiped that out. Instead of doing that, I pick up the phone and I call him. When my mind starts to take me where I don't want to go, I have the power to do something about that. Instead of listening to my mind and letting my mind convince me that my thinking is correct. Your thinking is very rarely correct, people. It's very rarely correct because it's always going to be corrupted with your perspective, and it's going to be corrupted with other things. When you start down that thing, I can come up with everything. Well, I remember when my brother did this and this and this and this, and that's why he turned out to be blah, 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 whatever. But we do this with people. That's what I mean by a scenario. So don't let them go. Sometimes they're very, very entertaining. I used to love to do them, and I can still do them and entertain. But it's a waste of your time, it's a waste of your energy, and you're not getting, you may can occupy your whole day with those wonderful little scenarios, with wonderful little fantasies and so forth. And then a day goes by, and a week, and a month, and a year goes by. Now what happened to the thing that you really wanted? You didn't have time even to visualize it or work on it because you're so busy doing this other stuff. You have to watch your mind. It is very convincing. It's like the world outside of you. It will convince you of something. Many people do a lot of busy work all day long and think they've done something. They haven't done a damn thing. They've never gone towards their goal that they want. Well, I worked all day. Well, yes, but you didn't work on what you were supposed to work on. And your mind will keep you from doing that. You have to see what you're doing. You have to see what kind of a scenario or story you're telling yourself all the time. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But you have to learn how to control them. You have to learn if you're not getting what you want, it always has to be you that's causing that. You can never blame it on anything outside of you. You can't blame it on a person, a circumstance, an event, anything else. You cannot blame it on anybody else. You see? Andy just told me that his daughter woke up this morning and she was on the wrong side of the street and she got a ticket. Now, in her mind, she's probably punishing herself, number one. She hates to pay the $68 is number two, or maybe 68 is number one. But she's going to say, well, if they didn't come, why did that guy get out there? It's only a few minutes late. It's her fault. She didn't move the car. It's her fault you didn't move the car. It doesn't matter what scenario you come up with, it's your fault. You didn't move the damn car. Move the car and it won't happen to you. You see, but we like to come up with a story of why. Oh, well, I only ran in for a minute. How could that be? You ran in for a minute and that's how it could be. So you have to be attentive all the time to what you're doing. And when I get a ticket, I go absolutely out of my... Look, I go crazy. And I'll have to calm myself down and say, I did this, I brought this on myself. I'm not going to allow myself to do these things. This is the way you learn to control your thinking. This is the way you learn to keep those stories from going on. They're very nice, and then we like to tell them to everyone. We get to work and we say to the person, oh, guess what they did to me, guess what, how much a ticket cost, guess this. And you keep telling that story over to everyone you see. Who wants to hear that? No one. No one. And you probably tell it to people that you know are going to be in agreement with you. You're saying, they're going to say, yes, you're absolutely right. The police are rotten. That meter maid shouldn't have come around the corner. They're just out to get money. That's how they build up. I hear people say, the city just needs revenue. That's why it does that. And you get more tickets. If you get they have more police out getting tickets because the city needs revenue. I doubt that that's true. Now, it makes sense that could be, but that's a scenario you're using in your own head. You don't know if that's true. What are the questions that you always ask yourself? Is it true? Is it false? Or I don't know? And it's always going to be, I don't know. It's always going to be, I don't know across the board. But the mind likes to figure something out. It always likes to figure something out. I've told you this before, that the Western mind cannot live in the mystery. The Western mind cannot do that. It has to have either black and white, it has to have a yes or no. An Eastern mind can live in a mystery. It doesn't have to know the answer. But a Western mind, because of the way we were brought up, because of the thought atmosphere we're living in, it has to know the answer. You see? And that's what's so wrong with the different religions and so forth, because it has to know the answer exactly. What is God? Who is God? What's this? What's that? What's that? God's a mystery. The whole thing's a mystery. Your life's a mystery. This world's a mystery. We don't understand. We're always trying to understand this stuff, but we don't understand any of this stuff. How long have they say that this earth has been here? Billions and billions of years. How many years have human beings been on the face of the earth? Well, they used to say 5,000. Now they say 6,000. Every 2 minutes they're doing 8,000. They just keep changing their mind about how long we've been here. But we keep trying to figure things out. But there's still tons and tons and tons of things to figure out that we don't know. One time they said, oh, we know every animal that's on the planet here. Well, now they discover other life forms, other animals that we never even heard of before. There's always something out there. It's all right to investigate and to do all that, but don't ever think that you know everything and that the mystery's been solved. It's not going to be solved. It's too big for our little finite minds to ever figure out. Just have fun here with what you're doing now. Just have fun with all of this. That's all you're here for. This should be a party. It should be a celebration. This should be your adult Disney World. It should be all those things. But we turn it in because of our little thinking, our little minds, and these scenarios. We turn it into everything but what it should be. And then we wonder why we're not happy, why we're not content all the time. So, don't do it to yourself. Learn to control your thinking. Learn to see where your mind's going. You can be very creative. You can write those scenarios down and so forth and perhaps sell them to Hollywood. They love stories like that. Then you could make at least money on them. But if you're just coming up with these scenarios all the time, they're not going to work. They're not going to work. Where I come from, they come up with that all the time. They come up with all kinds of scenarios, and then that's why one family member doesn't talk to the other family member and all the different things that go on. I discovered very recently, I came to this conclusion. Anything, any problem, any difficulty that you are having, there has to be a resolution to it. There has to be a resolution to it. And it's usually the resolution is you have to forgive yourself, you have to forgive the other person. You have to learn to love, bless, and release things immediately. Get them out of your life so that you could move on with your life. But we don't do that because we have these little stories that just keep going and going and going, these little scenarios of what people are doing. And we do not know. We do not know. So live your life moment to moment. Live your life in a wonderful state that you feel good about yourself. And please don't project into the future and think what's going on in the future. The future is not here and the future will never be here. There's no such thing as the future. That's a little mind trick. There's a little mind trick. Why is there no such thing as the future? Because it's always the now. You can't. Next year, when you're into next year, it's always going to be the now. Always the now. And you're living in the now. And the other thing is, you are the now. You are the now. You are what's happening right here and right now. There's nothing else happening. Now, your mind wants to tell you that there's other things happening. Well, we hear traffic out there. We know there's a city out there. We know all this kind of stuff. But what's happening to you is right here and right now. As soon as you put your mind someplace else, you have left this room. You have left your body. in yoga and in Buddhism and all, they always tell you to keep your mind and body together. And you have to learn to bring your mind back to your body and not let it go out all over the place. And it can go, you know, my mind can go back to Pennsylvania and I can start all kinds of scenarios about all those people in Pennsylvania. And I can decide if I like them, hate them, or whatever I want to do. But that doesn't get me anywhere. And that takes me right out of the now. Right out of the now. The other thing is, only stay in your own mind. I tell people this all the time. I call it staying at home. Because you don't know what those other people are thinking. And your mind will say, well, they probably think you're this, that, or the other thing. Blah, 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 blah. You don't know what they're thinking. You have no idea what they're thinking. And they're probably not thinking about you one bit. That's sort of narcissistic when you think that people are thinking about you. They have too many problems of their own to be thinking about you. Too many problems of their own to be thinking about you. So let them alone. Keep to yourself and control your own thinking and your own mind so that you can then have the energy to visualize what you want and to come up with that feeling that is going to hook that. And that word, idea of hooking something, comes from my friend Joyce Reynolds. And she said you have to grab it and hook it with your stomach, with the feeling in there. Not with up here. And as soon as you have a gut reaction to anything, you get what you want. You feel it in your gut, and that's called hooking it. And you hook it right in there. So start with your feeling and watch these scenarios that are going on in your mind. Now, what was a scenario going on in my mind when I left the class last week? I thought, well, that was the worst class you ever gave. That my mind said, oh my God, Dallas, you didn't do that. Blah, 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 blah. Then I heard, oh, I understand your class was wonderful. You gave it. Okay. Is it true? Is it false? Or I don't know. I don't know. But see, the mind, my mind too, I have to keep training my mind. It wants to tell me, you didn't do a good job. My mind never stands up and says, Dallas, guess what? You did a good job. Congratulations. It never does that. Because it remembers all the things that I didn't do. All the things that I didn't say, you see. A friend of mine, Betty, who has made her transition, she said, Dallas, always think of the things that you know and not the things that you don't know. Because we're always thinking, I should know more, I should know more. And we go after knowing more and more and more. Well, we forget how much we already know. And we think there's something wrong with us because we don't know enough. We don't know the next thing. But look at how much stuff we know. Look how much stuff you really know. So concentrate on what you know. And you're never going to learn it all. Throughout eternity, if you keep coming back and coming back here, you'll learn more and more and more. There's always more to learn. So, be pleased with yourself for what you do know. And give yourself credit for what you do know. Your mind will not do that for you. It will tell you, no, you need to do more. I would have never started to teach because I thought, well, I haven't read enough books, I haven't gone here, I haven't done this, I should know more about this. And my mentor said to me, you're never going to know that unless you start teaching. You'll never start teaching because your mind will keep you from it all the time. It'll tell you, no, you can't do it. And I'm delighted that I figured that out and that he made me do that because I enjoy these classes and I enjoy them. Doing it, and I would have left myself out of a lot of joy and happiness if I didn't have these classes to teach, if I didn't keep up with this stuff. So you have to listen to yourself and not the mind. You know, don't. The mind will keep you from doing it all the time. Andy just told me he came from an audition. He didn't feel good about the audition. But he thinks he'll probably get it because he didn't. You see? The mind didn't say to him, oh, Andy, you did a terrific job. Doesn't. Your mind will not do that to you. The people whose mind would do that, said, you do a terrific job in this, that, and the other thing. You must have that self-confidence. But so many people take that in and you don't like them. They become very conceited people. Very conceited. We're not talking about conceit here. We're talking about being self-confident. And the mind doesn't want you to be self-confident. It wants to keep you always on the edge, teetering and teetering and teetering. Don't do that to yourself. Say to yourself, I know exactly what I'm doing. You see? And you do know exactly what you're doing. You're always in your right place, doing the right thing and saying the right thing. Why? Because this thing called God is operating in, as, and through you. Always doing that for you. So give yourself some credit here. That's why I want us all to learn. But not only are we a part of this thing called God, we are becoming this thing called God. There is no other way that it can go. There's no other way that it can go. And I think a couple of months ago I told you, remember when Madonna and all the people were studying Kabbalah and they wore the red strings and all? That's a mystic part of Judaism. And the part of that is, you are becoming God. That's what the Kabbalah is all about, is becoming God. So, think of that. Wear a red string if you want. Now, that mystic part knew that, you see. But the rest of the Jewish people are not taught that. They're not taught that. We had many sects in Catholicism and so forth who knew that, but they were literally killed off so that wasn't allowed to be said. So don't be afraid to say, I'm becoming God. You know, and then watch yourself each time, you know. Watch yourself each time. At nighttime, I take an inventory of what I've done during the day, and I say, what steps brought me closer to God, and what steps took me away from God? What could I have done better? What could I have said better? And then I catch myself, and I go, that wasn't very God-like, that was. Now, when I do that inventory is not to punish me in any way, shape, or form. It's to make me grow. It's for personal growth. And I said, next time I will do that differently. I will say something different. You see? Instead of being always coming from this, what we call the human mind or the human conditioning. You can't do that to yourself because what is the little escape hatch or that little thing that every human being does, and the human mind always does. Well, you're only human. It does that all the time. Well, you're only human. You have to know that you're more than human. You have to know that you're more. If you say, I'm human. I can say those horrible, mean, hateful things. I can do those horrible, mean, hateful things and get away with it. You see? And get away with it. And you can't. You can't do that. You have to say to yourself, do I really believe this? Do I really believe in God? Do I really believe that I'm making a step closer to becoming this thing? Then you have to take that inventory and say, tomorrow I'll try this differently. And I'll probably stumble over the same thing tomorrow, but I'll keep trying because I know that one day it's going to work. But I don't punish myself. When I make stumble, I never punish myself. Why don't I punish myself? Because I know I'm becoming God, and I know that all that I am is God, but God is not all that I am. So, I cannot be punishing myself because God never punishes me. God will never punish me. God never sits in judgment upon itself through me. So I just say, a mistake, a learning experience. I can learn to do better. I can learn to do better. And that's all we do. And it becomes fun. It becomes a fun experience, and you get to feel better about yourself. You see? Do I want to become a better human? Yes and no. I want to become a better spiritual person. I want to become better, closer to this thing called God all the time. We have all the humans we need, and we have all this stuff that is human. Now let's see if we can't go past that. Let's see if we can't elevate ourselves and evolve into the next generation. Into the next generation. And here, we should be able to do that. You know, in this decade, we're in this decade, technology is supposed to go 1,000-fold. And if you notice, you get to buy a phone today, tomorrow, that phone is obsolete. You need generation 4, you need generation 5, you need generation 6. Well, think of yourself in that same way. If we're going to advance, we have to give up the generation. We have to learn something new and become the next generation. And if we do it now, think of the generation that comes up, the children. Look at children today. You know, you're always born into a conversation that is already going on. We are not born into the same conversation that George Washington was born into. That was a completely different conversation. I was born into a conversation that was war. I was born during the war. And I was born right after the Great Depression. So that's the conversation that I grew up in, you see. But here's the clever little thing. You never live in that generation. Your parents don't live in you. And you don't live in your parents' generation. Your parents always live in your generation. So you see, if we advance, and we can advance why we're here on this plane of action, if we can advance towards this thing called God, think of what the young kids will do when they're born into a different conversation. That we've already discussed that we're one with God. We already discovered that, oh, it's absolutely true that we're taking a step towards becoming God. The children are going to get that right away. And if you think I'm fooling you about that, bring a young kid in and ask him to use the computer. I can't use half myself at a computer. Young kid, oh, yeah. Because they're born into that atmosphere. They're born into that mindset. It's a completely different thing. You're always born into a conversation that is already going on. And the children today are born into a technology. We didn't even know what a computer was. I remember when I was a child, I think I graduated, in fact, maybe my last year in high school. They came out with a calculator. Remember? Honest to God, we never had a calculator. You know, all of these kids really, they knew immediately how to use a calculator. Now, everyone knows how to use a calculator. 20 years of my life, I didn't know what a calculator was. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh, how the hell do you work this? No. So we learn very quickly. I remember the first time I ever went to an ATM machine. I got that nervous. I thought, oh my God, I'll never be able to figure this out. I put that in, oh, do this, do that. Oh, gosh. I may have tried 3 times before I got the thing to work. Now I could pull up to an ATM machine. I said, this is the slowest thing in the world. Couldn't this thing work a little faster? And do you notice how they have changed? Every time I go to my bank, it's a different type of ATM there. Something's new. We're evolving faster and faster and faster. And we have to evolve with this religion. We cannot stay with the faith of our fathers. We can no longer have these things going on telling us the same twaddle that they told us hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It just cannot last. It cannot last. someday the Vatican will be nothing but a museum, I'm sure. All these religions, please don't think I'm picking on the Catholic Church. I'm picking on all churches. Someday it has to. It has to evolve past all that stuff. And we have to learn that we are involved. Now, if you read any of the cutting-edge books and so forth, they will tell you that this is the first time in history that the human mind is now participating in evolution. Before, evolution was carrying the mind. Now the mind is participating in evolution and it is carrying it along. And that's why we're moving at a faster rate than ever before. We're moving faster and faster and faster. So that has to go, you know, what we try to do is we put things in departments. We departmentalize things. This is my life, this is my work life, this is my social life, this is my sex life, and over here is my spirituality, or over here is my church or my religion or whatever. It's all one and it's all moving. It's all moving. But we think, as fast as we move, we think that this religion, it's not moving. Religion is not moving. Why? Because they think they have the answer. They think they have figured the thing out. And that's when I bring this up, and I'll probably bring it up a lot more. Religious science churches start to do the same thing. They get stagnant. They get absolute stagnant, and you cannot have stagnation. Everything must be moving, everything must be growing. Nature, this whole thing is always growing. Ernest Holmes said, we're always open at the top. And then people slam the book shut and say, well, that's it. He said it all. You see? No. Be open. Have an open mind. But not that open that your brains fall out. You see? You must always keep an open mind. You must be open to these things. But be open to this idea of evolution. And that you are participating with it. And that you are thinking thoughts that you never thought before. And don't be afraid to think thoughts. Most people are afraid to think anything about God because they think that they're going to offend God. Fortunately, when I was a child, I was raised in the Lutheran faith. Or the Lutheran church, I don't know if particularly if we want to call it a faith or not. But anyway, I used to ask many, many questions. And I had a minister then who said, Dallas, God wants you to question things. God wants you to question things. How else are you going to find? This is a wonderful thing. Question. You can question me. You can question Ernest Holmes. You can question anything. You can question yourself. But keep asking and keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Here again, we're into a generation with this thing of evolving and moving forward, which is much different than our parents, at least my parents. My parents may have known that they had a mind, but they never were taught that their mind could bring things through them. Their mind was very powerful, that it could do anything. No. It's only in this particular generation that we are learning those things about the mind. Your parents never learned that. They never thought that what they thought meant anything. You see, that it caused something. This is the only time in history that this is starting to come to the forefront. And that's part of this thing called evolution. So we want to keep opening that up more and more and moving forward with it. So when you run into these static type things and all, you don't have to knock them down. Just say, oh, well, I'm not going to participate in that. I'm going to find out for myself. And I think I told you this a long time ago. If you belong to any organization, any group, you could only move as high as the group. If you start to move higher than the group, they ask you to leave. They ask you to leave. They don't want you to go higher. They want to keep the status quo all the time. Let's all think the same way. Well, we don't all think the same way. We all have minds, but we're individualized expressions of God. So we all think slightly differently, you see. And you have to decide that your mind is a good mind and it can think these things. And it can think good thoughts about you and it can think good thoughts about God. And it can evolve with God. God is a concept, and that concept is constantly changing people. And you have to change with it. The concept that our parents grew up with, there was God, there was heaven, there was earth. If you were good, you went there. If you were bad, you went there. Bang! That was religion. That was religion. And now we know differently. First of all, we know that there's no such thing as hell. The only hell there is the one that your mind makes for you. So we know that it's done with thinking. It's done with your thinking. So when you have these scenarios and these stories going on in your mind, change them. Change them to what you want to do. You see? I think I told you a long, long, long time ago, if you look at yourself as the producer, the writer, and the star of your life, and the film and the screen. See, you're everything. You are everything. And you have to know that. You have it all. Everything has been given. The gift has already been given. And you heard that. At least that's one thing that I picked up when I was in the Lutheran Church. The gift has been given. The gift of what? The gift of mind. The gift of imagination. The gift that you can do something with your life. You see? And that's what you want to do. And this thing called God is always for you, never against you. It's not holding you back in any way, shape, or form. If you are not getting what you want from life, it is your thinking that's doing it. And you must sit down and start thinking differently. When you do a treatment. That treatment works, but your mind starts to negate it right away. As soon as the negation comes in, that's why we have that one step in spiritual mind treatment to get rid of the negation. But you have to watch your mind every minute because it wants to negate everything that comes into you. I had a client, I may have told you this story, if not, this time. Treating lawyer, entertainment lawyer. Wants to start his own business, wants this to happen, wants that to happen, da da da. I said, okay, all that can happen, we'll make that work. This all sounds good to me. Then he comes and he says, I had a random phone call from a studio asking me if I could do this, that, and the other thing. I said, wait a minute, bucko. I'd already taught him about words and word structure thought. What is this word random? He said, what do you mean? It was a random phone. I said, it was not a random phone call. You wanted this. You treated for this. The phone call came. Now, you've negated the whole damn thing by using the word random. Anytime that you use the word random, chance, accident, any of those little things, you bring yourself down to the law of averages. Now you're in the law of averages. When you're in the law of averages, you cannot do anything. Because 1 out of 10 people will win. You see? When you move up to the law of cause and effect in her in this consciousness. What do we know about this consciousness? Everyone can win. Everyone can win. There's no such thing as random. There's no such thing as random. Everything is cause and effect. You wanted that, the phone rings. You don't, you see? But so many people discount, and I've said that so many times, you have to know when the demonstration is in front of you. But you don't. You say, oh, well, that would have happened anyway, or whatever. You've just negated that whole demonstration. Then people want to know why it disappears so quickly. Well, didn't stick with you because you didn't say, thank you very much, I'm grateful for this, please stick around and we'll have fun together. No, you said, oh, well, that happened anyway. Who cares? Off you go. See? Your mind does that. And the stories that you tell yourself, that's what counts in life. So control your mind and control the mind talk. Mind talk is always going to be that parental voice. It's always going to be that voice that puts you down, that voice that says you can't do something. That's a parental voice. Scenarios and stories, they're the same, are the stories that you tell yourself and about other people that take you in the wrong direction, that fill your day with fantasies and so forth. Fantasies are not visualization. You can fantasize about the white picket fence in a little house all day long. Or you can fantasize of what you're going to do when you finally succeed and all this money comes. Then you're going to do something. Well, you see, where does that put it? That puts it somewhere else. That puts it outside of you. It puts it somewhere else. You can only do something in the now. In the now is the only place where the power is. It's the point of power is in the now. So in the now, you have to know that it's already done, and you have to get that feeling that it's already done. As soon as you get that and the feeling, your demonstration is going to be there. Now, I said this one also before, this one I happen to love. Bible. When you look at the field, you must see the harvest. Regardless of what time of year it is, if it's fall and the snow is on the ground, you look at that field, you have to see the harvest. You have to see the harvest. Why? Because the harvest is already there. The harvest is already there. It's just out of sight. You see, it's just out of sight. But because we don't see something, we say it's not there. You have to know that it's behind the screen, as I call it. All you have to do is open the screen. You know perfectly well, if you see a field loaded with snow, you know in the spring, something is going to come up through that ground and grow. And that's what you have to see. Never see the barren. Never see that. How did Jesus heal? Remember the withered hand? You never look at the withered hand. You look at the perfect hand. If you look at the perfect hand, the withered hand has to become perfect. But people concentrate on the withered hand, meaning you concentrate on what you don't have. You concentrate on what you want. You concentrate on what you need, instead of knowing that it's already done, that it's already there, it's just out of sight. And you, with your power, are going to bring it in to sight. All things seen come from things that are not seen. That's the way it works. Exactly that way. We can never get around the idea of feeling. What will it feel like? And then you manufacture that feeling. All feelings, people, are manufactured. Especially actors. Oh, I couldn't do that. Well, what the hell are you doing on the stage if you're not manufacturing a feeling? You have to manufacture your feelings. Feelings do not drop out of the air, people. Feelings always follow thought. Always feelings follow thought. So think the feeling. Use this wonderful gift called your imagination. Bring that feeling into the solar plexus area. Hook it. And as soon as you do that, it will present itself in front of you. It will present itself in front of you. That is an immutable law of the universe. It's also a mathematical equation. It cannot be changed. It always works that way. Always works that way. So, control your mind. Control it. I know in religious science it says change your mind, change your life, control your thinking, and you will change your life. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.